All right, good morning. Well, we are a little sparse this morning. That's understandable this time of year. We still got some people working in maybe some last-minute travel and things of that nature. However, it may be that people are just tired. you hit that Sunday right between Christmas and New Year's, and people a lot of times are just, you know, the holidays are great. Don't get me wrong, I love the holidays, things like that. There's a certain amount of stress and, you know, running around and all that kind of stuff. And what I've noticed is a lot of people look kind of beat this time of year, or they're kind of struggling with their health a little bit. I've got a little sniffle, you know, this morning. So, I've always thought maybe this Sunday might be that Sunday where everybody comes to church in your pajamas and just kind of sits on the floor and all that sort of stuff. Hey, if they can do it at Walmart, you know, do it at church. I'm still not quite used to that at Walmart, but you know what I mean. But maybe different strategies that we could try there. But hey, great to be with you guys this morning. Looking forward to as you see on the overhead here, 2019 rapidly approaching, and 2018 is almost gone. And so I think this year we might have a chance to reflect on the previous year. There it goes. All right, so it's working. And so before we do that, though, let's do ask God's help as we do that together this morning. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for our time together today. Father, we're so grateful to be family, to be yours, to have you as our Father, and to know that regardless of what's gone on before, what's going on right now, what will be in the future, Lord, that you're with us every step of the way, and that you've given us each other to lean on and depend on as well. And so as we study your word this morning, Father, may your Holy Spirit just move among us in such a way as to help us to learn and to grow in these things in all the ways that you would have us to this morning. We ask all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I do like reflecting on these things on the previous year. You'll note that, or you'll remember that this year we've had kind of a theme going. We've had some 18-18 verses going in lieu of 2018. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. And so we're called to bless the nations. And so even though we'll be leaving 2018, we won't stop blessing the nations, will we? No, we're going to keep on doing that, because as Paul shared with us in Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, and surely we do, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so we're blessing people. We're not just blessing each other, though we do that as well, but we're coming in contact with people all the time, and we're even blessing people that we're not necessarily in direct contact with through our involvement with missionaries and, you know, different things, you know, like that. So there's all kinds of ways that we can be involved. So before we contemplate the future going on there, because there's things that, you know, we're going to be thinking about there as well, we're going to go back and review. You'll probably recall that last January I used a few of some of my favorite 80s movies. I like movies. I think kind of movies are sort of the modern day parables that are out there, and, you know, they all kind of resonate with us a little bit. And so this is kind of a little checkup, you know. How'd we do this year on some of those things? You know, how are we going to continue to build continue to grow in some of these things? And so I want to look at Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 this morning to remind us of this. It's better to have a partner than go it all alone. Share the work, share the wealth. If one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, it's tough. It's tough there. We're better when we're connected to each other. Isolation will just kill you. you know? I'm not saying you're going to end up like the Unabomber or anything like that, you know, living up in a cabin in Wyoming or someplace and plotting, you know, nefarious things and things of that nature. But, you know, it's just better to have people in your life, you know. And specifically in this case, I want to talk about mentors in the Karate Kid that we looked at last time, you know. This young boy desperately needed a mentor in his life. He didn't have a father, okay. He had a mother that loved him very much, and that was wonderful. But he needed other people in his life there. And so this his teacher here, Mr. Miyagi, was having him do things he really didn't understand, right? You know, paint the fence, sand the floor, wax on, wax off. But he's just like, he wanted to learn karate, you know? And he knew that this guy, you know, knew his stuff. He said, why are you having me do these mundane things? But without knowing it, and you know this if you saw the movie, in doing these things, he was actually learning the karate, wasn't he? He was learning some of these basic techniques there. He was angry at first for doing these mundane things. So sometimes in the process of dealing with each other, you know, God's having us learn things that don't always make sense, but what's happening is God is preparing you for things that are going to be happening in the future, and this prepares you for, you know, for that. If I had known at the beginning, back in January when we shared this, some of the things that we would be going through with the declining health of my mother-in-law, that would have been really scary. But God was doing things in my life to help prepare me for that, to help prepare my wife for that, for all of us. And so even though that's just such a difficult thing to deal with, and it's such a tragic thing, you know, God is good, God is gracious, and I have people in my life that help me, you know, with these things. You know, Jesus hung out with a group of 12 guys, and they were all of different backgrounds, right? You know, you wonder about it sometimes. You know, if Jesus was to be this king, you know, why wasn't he building an army, you know, to defeat the Roman Empire? Instead, he's hanging out with these 12 guys that, you know, one of them's considered a traitor, you know, to the Jewish people. He's a tax collector. The other one's a political anarchist. You know, he's a zealot, you know. I mean, you just really couldn't look at people more different from them. But what is he doing? He's just hanging out with them. You know, he's eating with them. They're sharing meals together. You know, he's teaching them. But he's also spending a lot of time just being with them. You know, I'm sure he spent a lot of time listening to them and helping them, you know, answering their questions and things like that, you know. And so it reminds us that just like in the Karate Kid here, the lessons are not just for karate, are they? They're lessons for your whole life. As his wise teacher there, whole life, have balance, he says in his broken English that he uses there. That's such a quaint part of the movie. As he's learning these mundane things, he's learning about karate, but as he's learning about karate, he's also learning about life. Some of these things may not seem such a big deal in your life at the time, but they have great significance in the future because God is using them. And so we have that opportunity to be involved with each other and mentoring each other and teaching us these kinds of things. I want to show you a photo here. This is a little personal thing with me here. This is a big building on Lamar Street, downtown Dallas. And if you did any catalog ordering when you were growing up in Dallas, you probably went to this place or ordered from this place a few times. Anybody know what this is? It's Sears. I knew John would know there. Yeah, it doesn't have the big sign. These are luxury apartments, believe it or not, today. Southside apartments. But back in the day, way up here on the 8th floor is where I spent a great deal of my years in high school and college, especially over the summer and Christmas breaks, because this is where I worked. Okay? I worked in this place. You know, this, like I said, all the catalog orders came in here, and there was a big slide believe it or not, a big spiral slide that went down the middle of this building. And when you would wrap up lightweight merchandise and things like that and tie it up, you would put it on this slide and it would go all the way down. And that's where they would have the stuff for the people who come in when you order stuff. Believe it or not, that's how it worked. Sears had their own way of doing these things. But the reason why I share this story with you is this is where, in a roundabout way, I kind of got some mentoring growing up here. There were people that I worked, and it was really menial, you know, work. It wasn't very challenging to me intellectually, but it paid, and I knew I needed money to help me get through college and things like that, and other things that I'll talk about here in a few minutes. But it was necessary for me to, you know, continue to do my work there. And some of the people that I worked there would share with me, hey, you know, you better stay in school, get your degree, or you know what? You're going to end up here back with me working at Sears the rest of your life. Well, I didn't want to do that. That place got to be about 109 degrees down those aisles in the summer because this place at the time was not air conditioned. And it was not real pleasant up there. So that was kind of a motivation with me. They would kind of share with me, hey, you know, stay in college, get your good. They were telling me the same thing that my parents were telling me about being responsible and staying in school and, you know, all of these kinds of things. And so that was helpful, you know, to me. As you know, it also kind of helps you learn the value of a dollar. You know, I knew every hour I spent in that hot warehouse working that represented a certain amount of money, and that the money just didn't come free, did it? You know, you had to work for it there. However, the first year I worked at Sears, it wasn't up on that eighth floor. It was actually in a different part of the warehouse that had the heavier stuff, like the mattresses and the box springs and the furniture and things like that. And you had to lift that stuff and put it on trucks and all these kinds of things, you know, to ship out. And that first summer that I worked there, I really did want to work there because I had a goal in mind. I think I was like a sophomore in high school. And I was hired there as a result of the fact that my dad knew this guy at another Church of Christ there in Oak Cliff that was pretty high up on the food chain there at Sears. And he had volunteered to my dad one day after me talking to him on the phone. He noticed that I said, yes, sir, and no, sir, and I had manners and all these kinds. And that impressed him, you know, frankly. And he said, hey, you know what? Your boy ever needs a summer job, you tell him, you know, I'll get him on there. Well, the unfortunate thing was they hired me there, and they put me under a supervisor. They hired me without asking him. This guy did not like me. This guy had pictures of Vince Lombardi up in his office saying things like, you know, winning's not the most important thing, it's the only thing. You know, it's just, he was hardcore. And so he decided to make it his goal in life to make me quit. He was tough on me. He did everything in his power to make life very, very unpleasant for me that summer, okay? Then, a few weeks into the job, Sears decided to move a great deal of their warehouse material into a new warehouse that they had provided. And so they decided at that point we would start working 14-hour days. I worked from 7 in the morning to 9 p.m. at night. And on the one hand, that was good because it was extra money, you know, and that sort of thing. But at the other hand, it was long days. You know, I was coming home with blisters on my feet. I was not mentally doing real well because this guy was real tough on me. And my mom wanted me to quit. You know, she was talking to my dad and says, well, honey, this is just really hard. And it's okay. But my dad was a really wise guy. And he said, you know, honey, our son's going to have all kinds of difficult times in his lives. We need to teach him that when he starts something, he needs to finish it. Okay? And so I did. And with my see, that was where my dad mentored me. He taught me good lessons on those things. You start something, you finish it. Now, if he wants to do something else next summer, he's still going to work. My dad was real plain about that. You know, no, you're 16, you work now over the summer. You make an investment in your own education. But see, there was one other thing, one of the reasons why I didn't work. I had an agreement with my parents that if I helped to pay for a car, that they would help me with it, but I had to make a substantial down payment and a substantial investment in that car. So one of the reasons why I never quit was that I had my eyes on the prize. The 1971 Dodge Challenger. You guys know about that? Because that Challenger's still around today, isn't it? They've reissued it. It's out there on the roads. Boy, I wanted this car, you know. And it didn't hurt with the ladies if you had a car like this. I'll just be honest with you. It didn't do everything for you, but you know, it was kind of cool. You know, you kind of go, oh, is that your car? Yeah, that's it. You know, and you just kind of do your thing. Oh yeah, that's my wheels. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I had a goal there. And I was determined, even with those 14 hours, that was going to mean more money, more down payment, quicker I could get, you know, this car there, okay? And so there's a couple of things here. It helps to get encouragement and to be mentored. It's another thing to know what your goal is and your level of determination there that you really want to get it. Secondly, we looked at another movie. Matthew 6, starting in verse 31, says, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality. God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing, what, right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard times come up and when that time comes. And that reminds me of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. See, Ferris was kind of a mentor to Cameron here in the story. Cameron was all stressed out about everything, but Ferris is just telling him, you know what, ultimately, you know, we need to take a day off. You know, go out and enjoy Chicago here, and they have this great day where, you know, Ferris even gets involved in some kind of parade somehow, and he's up there singing the songs, and they're going to the museum, and they're, you know, going out in the fancy car and all of these kinds of things, because the idea is what? Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Right. It really does. We've had a year this year, again, with these health issues leading to the eventual death of my mother-in-law, that in the midst of all that, it's so easy to just be so preoccupied on that you miss everything else about life. You know, you miss a little granddaughter who's growing up, you know, right in front of you. Miss things with your kids that are going on, you know. We need each other's help on this to keep some perspective, don't we? That even when things seem their toughest, you know, that we're reminding each other that, hey, you know, let's stop and smell the roses. I think a great thing to do for somebody sometime when they're in the middle of something tough like this is somebody that just says, you know, hey, Paul, why don't we go out and grab some lunch? You know, why don't you get away from that stuff for just a little while and let's just... Let's go eat some of our favorite food, Tex-Mex, whatever it might be, and let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's catch up with what's going on in your life, what's going on in my life. Sometimes that's the biggest favor that you can do for somebody is just help them detach from the stress for just a little while. That can just make all the difference in the world on that. Because indeed, if you don't stop and look around. And remember that God's got all of this ultimately under control. You know, you could miss it. You really could. And then finally, 3 John 1:5. Dear friend, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they are strangers, You make the faith visible. Boy, that's such a powerful verse to me. I'm glad Joy earlier today brought up the thing of, hey, I'm just thankful that over the holidays we've had a chance to sit down with family and friends and just have some good times with each other, eat some good food, these kinds of things. You know what I wonder sometimes? Why don't we do a little bit more of that year-round? You know? Really. You know, these are the kinds of things that make your faith visible. This is what people really want to see. In the long run, we can talk a good game on all of this stuff. But it's when you have people into your home, when you sit down with them, when you get to know each other, when you enjoy good food together, you know, that's when people find out who you are. And they find, and more, and most importantly, they find out something about the God that you serve. That this is what makes me, me. But they never get a chance to do that until we all just kind of sit down together. See, it makes, like we talked about before, it makes a big statement about your relationship with somebody when you sit down and you eat with them. That's why I'm so glad we do that here. I hope that's something that we never stop doing here. Because it's really just as important in many ways as what we do in here. You know, I mean, it really is. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious when I say that. You know, this is when people are real. This is when people sit down and they share who they are. And there's just something about doing it with food. I don't know what it is, but it just makes it real. And this is what John is saying here to us. This is what makes our faith visible. You know, this is what happened with Dale Griffith and Neil Page in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I love this look on Steve Martin's face because he's just horrified by this whole experience that he's having with this really obnoxious guy that he somehow gets trapped with on this trip there, you know, finds himself sitting next to him on the plane, and, you know, they had the incident with getting the taxi cab and all of this, you know. One incident that I'd forgotten about, but I noted it here on our little collage here on the, see, is this my, is that it? I'm trying to see which one is the laser. Is it the laser right here? Oh, had to point it at this one. There we go, right there, yeah. And we're pointing this one, it doesn't work, does it? Okay, yeah, it's right there. It's right there. They're on the bus. I love that situation there on the bus where they're all singing. And the obnoxious guy is great with people because he's singing songs everybody knows. Hey, who else has got a song, you know? And then finally the uptight Steve Martin character. Oh, I got a song. And he starts singing a song from some musical. And nobody knows it. You know, three coins and a fountain. Everybody just turns around and stares at him, you know? But, you know, the obnoxious guy, you know, he's just kind of a regular fella, and he knows what people like to sing, so he bursts into Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, and everybody just joins in, they're all having a great time singing and all of this. See, Steve Martin just looks at this guy as somebody who's really obnoxious, and he is kind of obnoxious, you know. But he's also just kind of a regular guy, and he learns something about just being a regular fella, you know, from him. So much so that when he finds out at the end of the movie that this obnoxious fella actually lost his wife 8 years ago and he really doesn't have a home, he just travels and, you know, carries all of his stuff here in this big trunk, and, you know, he's a traveling salesman, so he just kind of lives, you know, on the road. Ultimately, what does he do? He invites him home with him. He extends hospitality to this fella. He understands that a friendship has been formed here, but in order for that friendship to deepen, what has to happen? He has to invite him into his life and invite him into his home. See, when you go into somebody's home, you see pictures of them when they were younger. pictures of their family, you know. I know kids, when they see pictures of me when I was young, they don't even imagine that I ever could have been that young. You know, right? Oh, this is your wife. And they'll go, gosh, y'all were young at one point. You know, look at y'all. You know, it's like there's something about that environment. They see the books that you have, the movies, the DVDs that you have up on your shelves. It says something about yourself there. One of the greatest gifts that we give each other is our hospitality. So in 2019, and that's coming up here, and as we approach the end of 2018, I want to remind everybody as we conclude this morning, just like I kept my eyes on the prize and I didn't quit, we're not going to quit either. All of us have a prize here. Philippians 3:12-14 says this. I'm not saying that I have all this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal. I've got my eyes on the prize there, where God is beckoning us onward. And what is that prize? To Jesus. It's to Jesus. And he concludes with this sentence here, and I love this. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Faith is a long walk in the same direction. So we're going to help up each other with this. Finishing out 2018, going into 2019, and our goal is start with Jesus, stay with Jesus, and let's end with Jesus. Let's do that. Would you say that with me this morning? I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. One more time. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Yeah. See, I believe you when you say that, but there's going to be times this year when you're going to need to say that to me because I'm going to have some difficulty with it. Okay. There's going to be times this coming year when you're going to be having some difficulty. And so what I'm going to need is to get with you and say, no. No, we're off and we're running and we're not turning back because our goal is Jesus. See, if that car could be that important to me, you know, it was. Boy, I love that thing. You know, how much more so is Jesus? You know, when I finally got that car home, boy, it was cool, man. It was cool. It was the 1971 Dodge Challenger with the overhead cams and the 381 engine, whatever it was. I've forgotten, you know, at this point. It was really cool. Boy, think about it one day when we see Jesus face to face. You know that day is coming? He's going to come back, set everything right. We're already in the pilot project. You know, we've already started, but he's going to come back. He's going to complete it, and we're going to see him face to face. If seeing that car was that cool, what's seeing Jesus about? So if you've never accepted this Jesus, I just encourage you to this morning. Be baptized into him. We have a baptistry here. Accept him as your goal, as the eyes that you have on the prize. He is the prize there. We're also, if you need some help with this, we're going to have some prayer time later, and we'll be able to share that together as well. But if you in any way want to respond to Jesus being the prize and being your goal, we just encourage you to do that right now while we stand and while we sing.